From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, and I'm joined, as I am every month, by the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mark Mone. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Usually it's just you and I in a studio discussing life at UWM, but we have other guests in our studio today. I'm excited about the topic.
We're just so pleased that we could be joined by these folks that I'm going to introduce in a moment. We represent the Higher Ed Regional Alliance, and I'm really looking forward to this show, Dave.
Well, so am I. I want to welcome to the program Brian Albrecht, who is president and CEO of Gateway Technical College. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
Good to have you here. We have Danae Davis, who is executive director of Milwaukee Succeeds.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Great to have you here. And Kathleen Reinhardt, president of Cardinal Stritch University.
Good morning, David. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you. And we were supposed to be also joined by Kaylin Betzig, who is president of Waukesha County Technical College, but we are recording the program on the morning of the first snow, and she could not join us. And but hopefully we'll maybe loop her back in at a future time. So, Mark, I really want to start with you. I remember on a program some time ago, you told us about this initiative, the Higher Education Regional Alliance, and we talked about it's important to the community, to importance to your university and to the partners that you have in the room. But could, for the benefit of the audience, could you just kind of give us an outline? What is this alliance all about?
This alliance is about higher ed coming together with important community partners to do something that has not happened in this region before. We recognize the issues that we're facing around talent development, around equity, around important achievement outcomes are so much larger than what any one of our organizations can accomplish. We've banded together to say, we're going to take these on. And you're going to hear today about some of the specific goals, some of the outcomes. And we think this is a game changer. We think this has the potential to make a difference in the lives of our community, the lives of many individuals, and really strengthen the organizations and make Southeastern Wisconsin a much better place to be.
Mm-hmm. Danae, can I ask you now, we've actually talked about Milwaukee Succeeds, and so I know of some of the activities that you've been involved. We've talked about it not only on this show, but in other programming on WUWM. As you think about this partnership, what is different about this partnership from other efforts to improve educational attainment in our community?
I think, as Mark said, the game-changing nature is the fact that these 2- and 4-year institutions are working with business and other organizations such as my own to take what's good between them and accelerate better results that they are all committed to. So whether that is how do we make enrollment and enrollment numbers go up for all of our institutions, or whether it is how do we get our young people, not just young people, let's just say our students, to completion faster, whether it is that how do we target the talent to the jobs and vice versa, it just is a powerful example of collaboration, which everybody gives a little and everybody gets a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's key, right? Everybody's got to be prepared to give a little bit too in order to have the larger picture be successful.
Correct.
Yeah. So let me talk to Brian and Kathleen just a second about their perspectives. Brian, can I ask you from the perspective at Gateway Tech, why is this alliance important to your institution?
Yeah, well, I think it helps to create a unified voice for the importance of higher education and how we can help provide seamless pathways for students going from 2-year to 4-year. And it helps create a more clarifying message to our community, especially parents, as they think about what choices their children have in higher education. This is my 34th year in education, and ironically, the systems have cooperated but independently. So, for example, the technical college presidents meet monthly. So we've been communicating for years about issues related to 2-year technical college programming. This is the first time we get to expand our conversations and really dig a little deeper into what are the issues around higher education in general and how can we work cooperatively to create solutions to those challenges? And it could be things as simple as transfer of programs back and forth. And we know, of course, now because of the economy changing so rapidly in Southeast Wisconsin, that there's a higher expectation around accountability and affordability for higher education. So this allows us to put solutions in place that are going to not only meet the needs of the colleges and those that we serve, but also our employers that are expecting us to be able to deliver a product that's ready for the workforce.
Yeah, I want to unpack some of those because you made some really good points. But Kathleen, from the point of view of you and your colleagues at Cardinal Stretch, how are you viewing this?
Well, the wonderful aspect to HERA is that we all are just coming together for a uniform understanding of the reality that the higher education ecosystem has fundamentally and permanently changed. Mm. 25, 30 years ago, many of us sitting at this table would have not necessarily known much about the other institutions, or at least, or even been on their campuses. We now have to come together to really confront some of the basic issues that are affecting our society today and fundamental changes today in terms of how students learn, when they learn, what they want to learn. Mm-hmm. The days of if you build it, they will come, those are long gone. Students are now embracing learning models that involve stackable credentials, badging, not any longer necessarily coming for a particular degree. There's a great deal of focus on just-in-time learning. When you consider in some of the literature that is being discussed across the country today, that for 70% of businesses today, their own business models will be changing within the next 3 to 5 years. It is incumbent upon all of us in education to, in order to not only survive and be successful, but to be relevant, to be in conversation with one another. And so our ability to work closely together take advantage of the richness of higher education, not only in the greater Milwaukee area, but across the state. The state of Wisconsin probably has per capita more higher education institutions than any other state. Mm-hmm. And the richness of that and the depth of skill, the depth of talent, the depth of opportunity, it really is incumbent on us to come together to be able to tell that story in a very different way.
Yeah. I mean to your point, we were joking about it in the hall before we came in that you know, it wasn't that many years ago that you guys probably, you know, if you said you were all meeting in one room, your staff would have probably said, why are you talking to them? You know, we're competitors of them. So that clearly has changed.
And I think we're still all coming to terms with that, because we also are dealing with business models that are clearly reliant on net tuition revenue.
Right.
But at the same time, we have to take a look at different types of models that will not only encourage the conversation, but really leverage the skills and strengths of each of our institutions, all of the foundational skills and strengths that we want to be able to share, not only with the students, who are our primary focus, but also for the health, long-term health and well-being and success of the greater Milwaukee community and the mm-hmm. state.
Well, I think it speaks volumes because you all are obviously competing for the same students, but you're really kind of putting that behind so that you can really help the students. So you're really doing it for the right reason. So, Danae, I've heard you and other people say, certainly Mark has said it on the program, you know, we're trying to bridge the gap. Talk about that. What does that mean, bridging the gap?
So I think that what it means is that, and I think Kathleen talked a little bit about this, there are gaps in how success looks between students based on race, based on economic status, based on the quality of prior education. And our institutions who are involved in HERA have the opportunity to take all of that into consideration and develop systems that will actually work for all of the students. And so whether we're talking from high school to college enrollment, or we're talking about how do we get students to come back who have a few credits, and you know, and how do we address issues around affordability and debt, all of those issues are best addressed when we take into consideration the needs of the students. So what I see in all of this, the key to bridging the gap is being student-centered. Mm-hmm. And so I think that all of these institutions own the systems that have that can either work for all students or have been responsible for impeding the opportunity for some students. And because they own those systems, they can change them together. Mm-hmm. And so I think they have all of the wherewithal, all the tools, and I'm really pleased to say, and the commitment to eliminating disparities mm-hmm. That are have been pervasive over years.
So, Mark, traditionally at UWM, you have a range of students who have traditionally gone to UWM. It's certainly an access opportunity for a lot of students who've never thought about college education. You also have grad students doing some pretty amazing things in master's and PhD programs. So bridging the gap for UWM means what?
I think there's gaps that we're bridging at UWM and really across HERA in a number of different ways. If you look at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline today, top of the fold, it really addresses something that's so significant and so important. It's around the high school achievement gap. And that is so profound that Wisconsin has the worst achievement gap. That's the difference between graduation rates for students of color and white students in the nation. We're 50th out of 50 for black versus white. We're 43rd. In the nation for Hispanic versus white. That gap continues into college. And that's what we're really trying to look at is the completion rates and bringing that together from an equity perspective so that all our students achieve at a higher level. So that's one bridge. And UWM as an access institution has that written into its DNA. It's part of our constitution and mission. And I think that we share that broadly across the HERA institutions. But there's also gaps that need to be bridged as well. Brian talked earlier about the linkages between two-year and four-year academic institutions. That, for many students, is often insurmountable. We have stories after stories, and it's not just anecdotes. We look at the empirical data. A lot of students go to two-year technical colleges or other two-year institutions, including UW colleges historically, and they think I'm going to go on and seamlessly transfer into a four-year institution, and they find that it's going to take them potentially another year or more. That's just unacceptable. We should have figured that out long ago. And we have some examples of where we have, you know, articulation agreements and certain pathways. But to be able to do that systemically, to Danae's point, we have the tools, we have the resources. The other gap that I think is critically important and that some of us are doing better and we all need to be doing much better is the gap between how our students access employment and vice versa. And that's a really important gap. And so we're the bridge to that. So I see a number of different areas where we have better alignment in terms of the programs and the preparation, as you've heard, but also the actual linkages, the handshake, if you will, the handoff, and the preparation for life after graduation. So those are, I think, more of the ways that we're bridging the gaps.
Okay. I just want to step down just for a second to reintroduce everyone in case people have joined in a little bit late. That was Mark Mone, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We're also joined by Brian Albrecht, President and CEO of Gateway Technical College, by Danae Davis, Executive Director of Milwaukee Succeeds, and Kathleen Reinhardt, President of Cardinal Stritch University. Brian, let me come back to you to the point that Mark was making because, you know, for as long as I've been doing this show and have been focusing on education, I've also heard a lot of employers saying, look, we're having a hard time getting the students to come out of a program like Gateway Tech or UWM or anywhere else and have the skill sets that we need. So in addition to what Mark was talking about, that kind of transition from two-year to four-year, you're also facing the needs of the employers.
Yeah, and that continues to grow. I mean, we were founded in 1911, so I would imagine in the early 1900s there was a heavy conversation in our communities around how do we help transition from an agriculture-based economy to a more industrial-based economy. And today, we're doing the same thing, transitioning from what might be a traditional industrial economy to a digital economy, and how do we help build skills so that workers can compete effectively for the types of jobs that are required by our employers. So that alignment, it might be one of the gaps that was mentioned here. One of the gaps is how do we tighten the alignment between what's delivered in an educational training program to the types of entry-level skill sets that employers are requiring. So that takes another level of conversation, not just with all of us in higher education, but bringing our employers to the table as well to really understand what they mean by entry-level skills and how do we build the types of knowledge-based economy for students that are going to be working in those jobs. So I think HERA allows us that common voice so that we collectively have a better appreciation for what we're talking about now, digital manufacturing mm-hmm. and, you know, cybersecurity and the types of skill sets that make the headlines in the paper, but we haven't had an infrastructure in the education system to really prepare people for those. So I think this organization will help us to do a better job of making sure that our programs are aligned with the industry.
So Kathleen, let me ask you, so from your perspective, how does this initiative, this HERA initiative, help accomplish that in a way that you and your colleagues at Cardinal Switch could not have done that on their own?
Multiple voices in unison are going to be stronger than individual voices on many occasions, on many issues. I think that the commitment to this collaboration, understanding what the collaboration will require mm-hmm. is important because in many ways, we're not only engaged in the education of our students, but we are engaged in the re-education of our communities to understand at a time of significant disruption how we can educate our communities about the value not only of a degree, but a value, but the expertise, the experience that we have on all of our campuses for micro-credentialing, for badging, for professional development. Many of our campuses have five generations on campus. Mm. And the literature today, for example, says that Generation Z, of which we've welcomed, the four-year institutions have welcomed the second class of Generation Z this past August. It's anticipated that they will engage in three different careers before age 30.
Oh.
And so it is our obligation to communicate with one another not only what Generation Z needs, but what returning adults need. Because if we're going to be committed not just to the preparation of individuals to enter the workplace, but also committed to lifelong learning, what are the collaborative activities in which we can engage to ensure that no matter what generation you fall into, you are going to be able to leave that educational experience and return to it in order to obtain the additional toolkit of skills. Mm-hmm. That includes not just a particular substantive skill in which you might be required to use in the workplace, but the skill set that will take you through life in terms of foundational literacies, critical thinking, the ability to collaborate, effectively communicate, effectively write. That's where our voices together will become stronger within the community. And at a time, as I said earlier, of significant disruption, mm-hmm. We can create a uniform, consistent voice with regard to addressing both the challenges and opportunities that we see.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the strength of multiple voices. So let me ask each of you the question of how is this initiative, this alliance, impacting what you do, what your colleagues do in your organization? Danae, talk about that from your perspective.
So from my perspective, we're a collective impact model that basically says cradle to career. We're committed to improving educational outcomes while eliminating disparities and being totally committed to equity. And what that translates into in terms of this wonderful opportunity to be part of HERA is that when we talk about the K-12 aspect of the goals of HERA, we're talking college and career readiness, and we're talking about how do we articulate to our young people what's ahead for them and what and how important it is to be proficient at math and science and reading and literacy, and with a goal in mind. So what is in it for these young people to do better to address some of the issues that are in these NAEP scores that have been persistent in the state of Wisconsin, but particularly in this region? I think that the collective voice and the engagement with K-12 in helping our students see what's in it for them. Why is math so important? Mm-hmm. Is it the right math? Really fulfills our objective as Milwaukee Succeeds to really pull that thread from early childhood all the way through. This is an essential component of how we get our students to have better success options for them in life.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important because I know when I was going to probably sixth grade, seventh grade, mm-hmm. whatever else, you know, I would take math and I didn't understand why that was important.
Exactly.
To me, you know,
me neither.
And right. I don't think anybody did. But now mm-hmm. what I'm hearing you say is that's a fundamentally important discussion to have with students so they see that it does have that impact when they go on to a 2-year or 4-year.
Exactly. And I think Brian wants to.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, I might
here.
Just add, I mean, that's one example that would work well for Gateway and University of Wisconsin Parkside. So we've had our math faculty meet with our partners over at the university to help clarify what is expected of entry-level math skills from students, which helps to address some of the math gaps that students are maybe not achieving at the high school level. So invested in professional development for faculty, invested in curriculum development alignment, investments in co-requisite math programs to make sure the support services are there. And all of those are strategies that we're learning from our college and university partners to help build a stronger, in this case, foundation of math. But we're doing the same thing in communications. And, you know, you can pick different curricular areas to address what Mark was highlighting, this deficiency gap that we're trying to help all students achieve success when they leave our educational institutions.
Mm-hmm. I would add, I think what Danae has just said is absolutely critical. The irony is that so many of our programs on all of our campuses are predicated on cumulative knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you are coming out of any program that is going to require some type of licensure exam, it is predicated on cumulative knowledge. So our responsibility and what the strength of HERA can do is to really engage K-12 districts throughout this region in order to really have thorough conversations about what the cumulative strength is of for every student in understanding why they're learning what they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of us to be having the conversation with one another with regard to the nature of the programs, how learning models have changed for students, how we need to address those, you know, what we do in schools of education today compared to 20 years ago is significantly different.
Yeah.
And so and really understanding, clearly understanding how students learn. And so what has been critical for all of the campuses participating in HERA is that we continue to take a very deep look at all of the infrastructures that we've created on our campuses in order to continue to ensure that they are solely focused on the long-term success, lifelong success of the students that we educate.
Mm-hmm. Mark, how has this alliance affected UWM?
Well, it's a great question, and I'll give a few examples of things that have shown how we engage, and I think all of us are engaging, but it might be useful, because I don't think we've said just who all is involved with HERA. And just to make it clear for the listeners, we have every single 2-year, 4-year public and private academic institution in the southeastern Wisconsin M7 region, Milwaukee 7, the southeastern 7 counties. That's 18 academic institutions representing about 150,000 2- and 4-year college students. It's pretty impressive in that regard. But we're joined by another 10 organizations, and they include, as you know with Danae here, Milwaukee Succeeds. We've got Greater Milwaukee Committee, the M7 group itself, part of MMAC. We've got the Hispanic Collaborative, the Hispanic Professional Group of Milwaukee, Greater Professionals. We've got Elevation and Milwaukee Urban League, Employ Milwaukee, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Pendio Group. I probably missed one or two in there, but
it's a pretty impressive collection of participants.
So when we focus on goals, and you've heard the issues, you know, in terms of the collective voice from all of us in different ways, when UWM comes to the table and the other campuses come to the table around, for example, the first goal, which is around completion, getting more students successfully through, we bring over 125 people together. And they've been hosted at a number of our different institutions, and we rotate that through. We received a $500,000 grant for College Completion America, and that was the first starting point that really brought individuals together with resources, and that was with this region competing with 45 other regions across the country, and we're one of three selected. We're on the radar, and people recognizing the types of things that we're doing for collective good are worthy of support. So when UWM is involved it's really like the other academic institutions where our faculty and staff come together. They learn from each other. They get best practices. They get tools. But it's also a shared commitment. And one of the things that we're very committed to is the game changers around, for example, 15 credits to finish. We have a number of high-impact practices around invasive advising, the use of technology in student academic maps, career planning, a lot of activities like that. So people are inspired. They come back really jazzed up, if I can use that phrase. Yeah. And they have colleagues now in a network. Similarly, for another goal, where we're looking at better linkages for our students with employers. You know, a lot of employers don't have the resources to recruit from all of our academic institutions. I just mentioned 18 academic institutions. We have employers like leading companies like a Rockwell that might recruit at 12 or 14 universities internationally, you know, so right. They're not going to be able to hit all of them. But how we can facilitate that, and we have our placement center directors that have collaborated and worked on how we can use technology through the Purple Briefcase and Handshake. Those are some of the technology tools that employers can sign up for and all our students collectively. So UWM is really excited about this. I think that for how long we've been working together, a little bit more than a year, building the structure, building trust, building the collaborative, we think we've got great momentum, but there's a lot of important things ahead of all of us.
Well, I think this half hour went by so quickly, and we're going to have to get everybody back together because there's so many more questions I have for each of you. But I think it's also important to kind of look at this, you know, in a year. Okay, so what have you accomplished? What are the obstacles to that? And I think that's important for us to track as well. So I want to thank each of you for coming in today and being part of this discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
My guests have been Kathleen Reinhart, president of Cardinal Stritch University, Danae Davis, executive director of Milwaukee Succeeds, Brian Albrecht, president and CEO of Gateway Technical College, and as he does every month, Mark Mone of UW-Milwaukee joining us in conversation on the Chancellor's Report. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.